unforgiveness. So we're going to look at how that we really need to learn how to walk in forgiveness. So we're going to look at how that looks tonight. And our text is out of Ephesians 4:32. And it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Thank you. All right. Thank you, Angelou. That's Angelou, love, in case anybody's wondering. She's filling in for us. You know, life doesn't come with a manual. I read this little thing that life doesn't come with a manual, and that's why you need a mother. You're going to learn from your parents how to do things right, and you're going to learn how not to do things. And both are good, right? Because you can learn from other people's mistakes. When we were little, my mom would make us quote that scripture if we had arguments between ourselves. And she would make you quote it. "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has also forgiven you." Ephesians 4:30. She'd be like, "No, say it again with a happy heart. Be ye kind." And we'd go over and over. Well, whenever you were done, you had to apologize for what you did. And then the other person had to say, "I forgive you." And I never really understood that until I had kids. And then I realized unless they said, "I forgive you," they felt entitled by the apology that, hey, well, I was done wrong. So I get to act out and be ugly to you. That is not God's way. That's the world's. So I took that up, and I made my kids start saying that too. I'd say, all right, that one of them say, "I'm sorry." I didn't make them quote the scripture, but I'd make one, you know, the one had to say, "I'm sorry." And then the other one had to say, "I forgive you," because I want to get that out of their hearts. Then if I saw any retaliation or anything going on, that's when I gave them the lecture on what forgiveness means, and you guys need to get this out of your heart. And I think this is so important because we are harboring things against people, and we've got these checklists, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you, in a marriage, a lot of times when Steve and I are doing marriage counseling, I like at Valentine's to get those little red foil heart chocolates, and I like to fill a jar with them. So you're all going to go to marriage class with me now. And what I do, I'll fill that jar with those little candy hearts. So every time you have an offense, we take a heart out. Because it's like a bank. And you deposit love by your actions more than your words. Amen. Yeah. And so every time something is wrong, I'll make them take a heart out of that jar for withdrawal. Well, pretty soon, most people are bankrupt in their love bank because all they know is what happened that was wrong. So if you start forgiving people and saying, "Well, you know what, I'm going to let that go," or whatever, we start filling that bank back up with deposits. And you have to remember that. In any relationship, you're either making withdrawals or deposits. And that's why some of us end up bankrupt, because we just think, well, you're supposed to give, and you're supposed to give, and we both are supposed to give, whether that's friendship, family, marriage, whatever it is. And you need to remember that forgiveness won't change the past, but it's going to change your now. Forgiveness is going to change your peace level. If you don't have peace, I can guarantee you there's some unforgiveness somewhere. And you just... do you know that unforgiveness is like the broth of stew for the enemy to get you to just stew in something? Yeah? And it also affects your heart. Physically, it's a proven fact that when you are upset and stressed, don't doctors say that all the time? This your stress level, it's your whatever, it literally affects your heart. And the Bible, guys, you don't have to wait for somebody to do these million-dollar surveys and studies. The Bible says it's a dryness to your bones, that literally it will cause your bones to dry up. And arthritis, other things, I'm not saying that's what it is on all people, but just hear me out. Those things attach to your body. And the Bible's already told us that. So it won't change your past, but it's going to change your future. Do you want a past with somebody or a future? We need to decide these things, and we need to decide what matters most. You've heard me say this, and I just think it's so important that we still know it. A lot of people are going to miss out on a lot of love because they had to be right. I'm telling you, having to be right is a love killer, okay? And the way that we need to look at this is this way. Do you remember, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Anybody know that little, anybody know our Father? Oh, you're doing good. Hallowed. Stop right there. On where? As it is where? On where? As it is where? So he's saying, I want, you can have what heaven has for you on earth. But we are so earthly minded about what we're going to get, or who did us wrong, or how did that affect me, or how do I look to other people? We're missing the point of heaven. How does this look to heaven? Because I'm going to tell you, if you take the eternal view, there are times when I go home and I think, I set that straight. I fixed that situation. And I go back and I look at it from heaven's view and I feel like God is just sad over me. Like, Gay, really? You need it? You know? Because here's the thing. You've heard, I know these are things that you've heard me say, but I'm trying to help you with things so that you don't have the scars, you don't have the mistakes behind you that I had, okay? But the truth of this is, there's times when we come in, and you need to remember, don't talk about, this especially for married people, and also friends, it goes everywhere, employees, it's everywhere, but listen, don't talk about people to other people. You know why? Because, you know, everybody loves their babies. So you go tell your mama, your daddy, what your man did or your woman did, and they'll harbor it. Because they're not you. They don't have to live with them. Y'all with me tonight on unforgiveness? And so what happens is, even when you're ready to unforgive, your family, or you're ready to forgive, your family won't. Girl, don't you remember that time you came up in here crying, telling me all about, what do you mean? Are you going crazy going back to that? You know what? That's an investment that I'm making, putting my trust in someone and believing the best in them. And when you let somebody tell you what somebody's value is, man, agreement is a powerful thing. And so we need to always be speaking good, telling the truth, because heaven's view is this. How do I treat you? Okay, what's going on between you and me? Because that's the way I want you to treat other people. That's how I want you to love them. The same way that you come to me and want, you know, love me. Lord, I know you're going to forgive me. Just help me. But I'm not forgiving them because this happened, and I know that's wrong, and your word says it's. Have you ever used the word of God on God? Right? Because you want to justify something. Here's the thing. We're going to look at tonight where to start. So I want you to get your pew Bibles out. I want some helpers tonight. And we're going to talk about where to start on this. Because the first thing we've got to do in forgiveness, if we're really going to forgive people, is we need to start out accepting Jesus. We need to look at the Savior and think, do I really accept Jesus for who he is? Or do I think he was just a good teacher? Leslie and I were talking about this today, and here's my thing, guys. Don't get into arguments with people over religions. I do not have a religion. I have a relationship that is alive and real. He is just as real to me as when you and I talk, Ken. He is just that real to me. And don't y'all think I'm crazy, okay? Because I want to tell you, I'm doing things I wouldn't do if it was just me listening to me, all right? Because I don't care that I look good. It doesn't matter to me if I'm the smartest one in the room. It does not. Many of you sitting in here have values and stories and testimonies I'm never going to have. I'm never going to reach the people you should. But we get hung up on those level things, and we need to stop it. But we need to decide right now, is he Jesus? And see, this is my thing. I refuse to argue. I'm not going to argue with you about another religion. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, is the leader or the writer of that religion still alive today? Boom, baby. You with me? Right? Because I got somebody that walks with me and talks with me, and he corrects me. Yeah? And the second thing you got to remember is this is the only religion that I don't have to do something to earn the afterlife, nirvana, heaven, you know, paradise or whatever it is. Those are two things no other religion is going to offer you. So I don't want to argue with you. I don't need to make your guy look bad to make mine look good. Because love conquers all. Love people where they are. So who can find for me Luke 24, verses 25 through 28? Somebody get that for me. And then I want somebody to go ahead and look up John 14. And we're going to look at 6 through 26. You got them up there. Start looking ahead. Who can find Luke 24? Thank you, Angelou. Be loud. Be proud. Read it, girl. See, what happens was Jesus goes in, they don't even recognize who he is yet. But because of the teaching, they begin to believe him. So we've got to believe who he is. The word's going to back up who he is. Listen, people aren't going to want to live this Bible if they don't believe that they're going to be loved. Right? Because you're always coming in second. Everything else teaches you that you're going to come in first. Right? Which is foolishness and pride. John 14. Who has it? Thank you, Cindy.
Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Mm-hmm. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot,
good. That's good. Because here's the thing. I want you to understand, I've got to believe that he's Jesus. I've got to believe he's the Son of God. I've got to believe that because of his sacrifice, everything that I'm going to get wrong on this earth. Anybody in here perfect? Yeah, I got work for you afterwards. I'm just saying. But yeah, because nobody is. But here's the thing, guys. That's not to say I get to do what I want to do because he's going to forgive me. That would be like any married couple. And I keep referring to this because I think that's such a beautiful illustration of us as the bride. Well, we're married. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you're just going to put up with it because we're committed. You just have to deal with this from now on. Raise your hand if that's your idea of a good marriage. Steve, I'm going to get you later. Of all the things, I'm just grateful he's not on the front pew stirring up trouble. All right. But you wouldn't want that because that's not a love relationship. And there's things that we do, not because we don't want to do them, but because we know that's going to harm that love relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying. These aren't things that I'm telling you to do because I'm a taskmaster and you're going to do it my way or not. He's telling us these things because, guys, these things outside the parameters of his love are going to hurt us. Emotionally, they're going to hurt us. So, yes, I had this little girl one time. She was over at the house, and the girls were talking, you know, and the girls were getting ready to go to prom, and Jake was in the room, and he was the youngest of the three, and the two older girls were talking. They had a girlfriend over there, and they were all about prom and everything. Jake said, well, you know, my mom wants me to date a virgin, so which one of my sisters am I taking to prom? And, you know, it was like everybody was like, and the little girl said, well, you know, We all make mistakes. We're not going to judge one another. And I said, no, we're not going to judge one another. I said, but honey, there's parameters because when you have sex with someone outside of marriage, you are giving a piece of yourself. Your emotions are connecting to that person. Guys, there's no such thing as a one-night stand that doesn't have something, a remnant. Anybody with me want to go after me on that one? Because I'm going to tell you what. Somehow our esteem, our value is wrapped up in those things. And then emotionally we feel like a failure. And we have to keep repeating or keep trying to please. That's the point. You've got to believe who Jesus is because you will always please him when you've got him in your heart. Right? Not because he's mean, but because he wants to save you from something. So here's the next step on where to start in forgiveness. I have to believe that he is a loving father who wants to forgive me, not a taskmaster looking to punish me. You know, the Bible doesn't say that he keeps a record of every wrong. The Bible says he keeps a record of remembrance of the times that it's hard for you, but you do it. That's how you're going to be judged when you get to heaven. Because if there was any other judging going on, it's going to be somewhere else. You with me? So here's the second step on this. I have to believe and I have to forgive myself. You got to believe in Jesus. And number two, you've got to forgive yourself first. How many people are disappointed in themselves so they look at somebody else and try to find something wrong with them to equal their bad stuff? Nobody else in here has ever had a blackmail relationship like that. Well, remember when you did? Well, I know, but I know what you did. Well, but you did so. Yeah, but when you did it, you was ugly. You know what I'm saying? You always got to one up how bad it was, right? We have to learn to forgive ourselves before we can forgive anyone else because the enemy will come into you and he'll say, well, you, who are you? You just think Jesus isn't even going to love you. Look what you just did. That is the reason we run to him and not from him. There's no sin, there's no darkness that Jesus is afraid of what you did. So why does the enemy want to hide? Why is that our first thought? Hide it. It goes back to Adam and Eve, because when you know you did something that is against his word, you want to hide, right? We're not just talking Christmas presents here, right? I'm talking things that you don't want people to know about you. And because you can't forgive yourself, you can't forgive others. And then we get into that, well, I'll top what you did. Well, I know you did that, but remember 6 months ago when you was in there and you said this to me? Well, that broke my heart. And ever since then, I've just been festering. I actually heard somebody tell me, I know that I'm, and they used a bad word, I know that I'm a, but I'm that because this person made me that. Have you ever heard that? You made me this way? I want to tell you something. I was made in the image of God, and so are you. And if I'm going to let other people define me, then I can say I'm that way because of you, because now you've made that person your God. But I'm going to tell you, we've already been teaching this. Jesus plus anything is what? So if I'm hurting, Jesus plus my hurt only brings me closer to him when I go, Dad, look at this mess, and I'm, oh, and I don't even like me, and look. And he's just like, let's deal with this. Let's peel this back. Gay, is this really this bad? Well, yes. Why? Because I'm hurt. Climb up in my lap. Let's get that healed. There's no rejection. There's no criticism. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's just truth. The truth is, you went against the word. You went outside the parameters. You were doing things for earth, not as in heaven. Everything's got an eternal value. Am I making a deposit or a withdrawal? You following this pattern? Okay. Who's got Romans 10:9? Go, baby. Yeah. Okay. Where in that scripture did it say if you're perfect? You don't see that in there? Then why do people tell you that's who God is? Who could live that? Well, nobody. That's why Jesus came and died for us. Not to condone sin, but that we might have the power to overcome it. See, when you're in a marriage, love relationship, and you know you got it good. You know what? You got gold. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to mess that up. Nobody knows what I'm talking about up in here. Okay. What I'm saying is this. Go back to the passion part, okay? Right? The chase, the hunt, the whatever, right? See, the marriage should not be the place where you quit. The marriage should be the place where you start investing, because you're going to have a future. And while I'm on the marriage thing, I'm going to say this to you, because this is something I tell people all the time. And those of you who've heard it from me, don't smile. It's just kind of rough. Maybe we shouldn't have recorded this one. But here's the thing. I tell people all the time, you get your children, your grown children in your marriage. And when you are in your 80s, ain't no kid coming over there to take you to the bathroom and help you. They ain't going to wipe you, because they got their own life. But when you invest in a spouse, how many of you spouses have been in embarrassing situations and you are glad that you had somebody who knew all about you and loved you anyway, right? Thank you. Because there's times when you're just going to need help. Now, kids are great, but I want to tell you, kids are going to go on and live their life. And when you keep, you got a kid in the mid-20s all the way up, I'm telling you, if you put that kid before a spouse because, well, that's my child, you're missing it. They are adults. Let them grow. Let them go. Because if you don't, they'll stay on you. Well, you didn't do that from guilt, shame, condemnation are not in God's tool belt. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Don't let anything come between you and your spouse, because that's where your investment is. Okay, who has Mark 9:18-25? Thank you, Ramona.
So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. And often he has thrown both him in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter into him no more.
Okay, so here's the thing. I believe he's the Savior. I have to believe that he's going to forgive me, that he'll do things for me. Here's a dad who's probably walking in guilt, believing that something can't happen for the son because of him, because these were the teachings that the sins of the fathers visit the children. I want to tell you something tonight. I don't believe in generational curses because of the blood of Jesus. And I don't believe that we have to continue to do something because Annie or Grandma or Grandpa, whoever did it, because I believe that the Holy Spirit can break that and can train us the right way. And here's a man who went, but he had to believe for himself first. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You see, Jesus didn't reject him. I have to let him forgive me first for the places where I'm falling short, because the enemy will use your falling short places to accuse you and keep you bound from growing and wallow in the excuse of you don't have to. Don't let the world define you. Do not let the world define you. Our main thought last week was this. If you are a believer, bondage is a choice. And where was Paul when he's writing all these letters to us? In prison. He's using what happened to lead others to wholeness. I don't want to lead people to being crippled. So I can't forgive you, Linda, unless I believe that God can forgive me. If I believe what I've done is bigger than who Jesus is, then I don't believe in him. I believe in me. And if I believe that these people, that their opinion of me is more important than the opinion of Jesus, I'm serving earth and not heaven. And I want heaven's peace. I want heaven's joy. I can have that on earth. He's promised it to me. I don't want drama. I don't want your opinion. I don't want any of that stuff. I want peace. Now, in this world, I'm going to have trouble. You can just do the best job you can do, and somebody's going to fault find you. Hello? Y'all awake? Isn't that the truth? Yeah, and you don't even ask for it. You're just like, what? You know, yeah, you wore your hair up in a bun because you Pentecostal, and you think that, you know, you can't do certain things because you're better than everybody. No, I've only got one hand. I hope you guys enjoy this hairstyle because it's going to be here for a while. Right? But you're going to get trouble no matter what you do. Here, so you've got to know that he's going to forgive you, or the enemy will keep you from going to him for forgiveness. And if you're walking in guilt and shame, misery loves company. Okay? Third thing, what we need to do, we need to let go situations. So not just do I need to believe Jesus, not just need to, I need to find it for myself, my personal self, find forgiveness from Jesus, but I need to have forgiveness for other situations and other people, because life's just going to happen. You may get the secondhand anger from somebody who couldn't be angry at a teacher, and they get to you, and they just let you have it first thing. Yeah, kids come home after school, and they're slamming books and do it. What, did I do something to you? No. Going to my room. Okay. Go to your room. Sure. 20 minutes later, bam, yelling at their sister and whatever. Come out. What happened to you? What, you know, what you really want to say is what got on you? Okay? Guys, be conscious of what's getting on you. Because what gets on you gets in you. And it eats away at your peace and it eats away at your joy. And we have to come in and we have to forgive other people in those situations. I'll quote the text to you again. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. You see, you got to get you forgiven before you can forgive somebody else. And guys, we especially should be forgiving people that are not Christians. You want to believe they don't know any better. But this world is malicious. People don't want anymore just to be right. They want to ruin you if you disagree with them. Who has Matthew 6:12? Oh, you are the star pupil.
And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us.
Who has Luke 6:37? You got it? Go ahead.
Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven.
Okay. So I can't hold anything against you because all I'm doing is making withdrawals from the love jar. Y'all with me on that? And pretty soon, if I'm not giving back and forgiving, when you forgive people, You're investing back between you and the Father. The love bank, you can't take a deposit from me. Only I can. Only I can let you do that. That is a worldly mentality for you to believe someone else can make you miserable. I'm waiting. I want that to sink in because that is the world's way to blame you. Listen, you want to live that way, but don't blame me because I disagree. One thing I've learned from the homosexual issue, I remember when, you know, the owner of Chick-fil-A came out. He said he's a Christian. I'm just repeating facts to you. He says he's a Christian. He says he does not believe in that lifestyle. So everybody's going to go over and protest, and they're going to put Chick-fil-A out of business, okay? So the owner goes to all his stores, the main guy who started it, and they're all franchised. They don't have to do it, but, you know, they're going to do what he says because he'll find a reason to jerk their permit or whatever, I guess. So he goes in and he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take water and lemonade and ice cream to all the protesters today because we don't hate people. Okay? So then everybody's like, you know, whatever, still mad. And I so appreciate in the homosexual community, Ellen DeGeneres, and I cannot remember the name of the other gentleman who came out, but he's very important in New York. And both of them said, you have no right to tell them what they can and can't believe the same way they have no right to tell us what we can and cannot believe. Why can't we just treat each other in decent humanity? Right? But that spirit that wants to destroy, it wants to hate, is because people have not been forgiven. They don't really believe that there's forgiveness. And because they don't believe there's forgiveness, they can't forgive you for anything because we get back into who's worse. Well, you judge me, you're worse than me. If I judged you, I am worse than you. But that's between me and him, not you and me, because your opinion of me is not going to get me into heaven. And listen, I got stories that I could tell you about things that have been said about me, and if I told all of you the stories that have been said, everybody here would be like, that's not true, she didn't do that, that's not right, and we could all get mad, and it solves nothing. It doesn't make me right. It doesn't please heaven. The thing is, I forgive you. I didn't ask for your forgiveness. That's okay. You didn't have to. I forgive you. Guys, I'm telling you, this is huge to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Raise your hand. Woo, thank you, Lord. Everybody's still awake, except the man in the back. Okay. Yeah, you raise your hand at the wrong times, and then you didn't raise your hand. But here's the thing. This is huge. When you let somebody steal your peace, you can't hear God. Because it plays over and over, and it eats at you, and you stew in it until it spills over. The poison spills over. So I have to believe Jesus, because there ain't none of them else alive to come up in here and help me. I have to believe that he wants to forgive me. This is so key to you and to me in my walk, and I've learned this. I have to believe that he's looking for the reason to reconcile me and not to refuse me. See, that's what people want you. No, you do this and do that. You know why they want you to do what they do? Because they don't want to quit doing what they do, and if you do it with them, they can be condoned. All right, now that was like immaturity 101, okay, but whatever. All right, so situations and other people, and I've heard people say, well, if God was good, how come he allowed that to happen to me? You heard that? Ever said it? Don't shake your head or raise your hand, but here's the thing. The devil is an accuser. He wants you to think God's bad. Why did God send his only son into the world? To redeem us from the things that he knew nothing else could do. There was a debt that had to be paid for the evil. So he's here to reconcile us, to love us, to give us peace, because he knows we're living in the middle of an evil world, and it wasn't his choice, it was ours. And it's still my choice if I'm going to be stewed up and mad and just looking to get somebody and make somebody look bad, or if I'm like, you know what, God, you and me, you and me, you and me. No one, no thing is bigger than God. Settle it. Somebody not liking you is the reason you get the pass on sin. They don't like me anyway. I'm just going to do it. That's rebellion. It's foolishness. Grow up. I mean that in the sweetest way I know how to say it. Grow up. Stop acting like we are immature and helpless in this world. When I forgive you, you heard the scripture, he forgives me. And to him, much who's been forgiven, I should be forgiving much. Well, y'all going to have to get in line behind me. Because I think I've been forgiven a lot more than you have. Okay, you never drank, you never did. Get off the world's list of what's sin and get into God's. I was waiting for one. Cynthia, you better keep it on or we're going to be here all night. Okay. The fourth thing that we really need to recognize tonight is this. On the forgiveness path, I need a Savior. I need to take care of myself. I need to look at other situations. And the last thing is I need to forgive the world. Some of us are so worried about the world. We're so caught up with the world that before you know it, you are in hate and in anger and in unrest and frustrated. That's not where God wants us to be. Well, you know, the world is just so bad. Praise God. That means Jesus is coming soon. Right? Praise God. That means I need to be telling people more about Jesus, because as dark as it gets, even if I just say the blessing at the restaurant, that makes my light that much brighter because the world's darker. Stop discounting the little things that you're doing for Jesus and getting the enemy to tell you they don't count, because he's shutting you down instead of you working and keep believing. Don't be mad at the world. Who has John 3:16-17? Go, Ramona.
Real loud, baby.
Okay, wait. People stop there. Now I want you to read it starting again at 16 and read it all together.
For God so loved the world, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Okay. So I'm going to pick on you, Andrew. Andrew, you got a new little baby son. How old is he? Okay. Not even over a month, right? Okay. So let's just say that the world's so bad that somebody comes to you and they're like, man, Andrew, we are so grieved over the state of this world. And you're like, you know what? I feel that love. Did you have anything to do with the state of the world to answer for all the millions of people? Can you do that? No. So you go in and you say, I got a plan, though. I'm going to take Alexander, and we're going to sacrifice him for all these people so that that can go out of the world. How about you, Jasmine, in their little baby boy inside of you right now? Eric, could you do that? Probably not. Be honest. Why? Because there's a love. If I can love like that, can you imagine what God loves like? And he did it. And he did it. It does not have to be done again. Daniel, honey, he would do it for you. You literally, he saw your face. He knew your name. John 17 tells me that. You know how I know? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is still speaking things to us today. When you want to reject God because you listen to other people of why you should, who is it that says, come on? And you just feel that peace come over you. So you can just go, God, it's me again. You know what heaven does? My son, you just gave value to what my son did. Now, here's the thing that I think intellectuals miss. If we didn't need a sacrifice, how come tribes that have never heard the name of Jesus all over the world, in your documented histories and in these pygmy tribes and all these other, how come all these people recognize it takes a blood sacrifice? Why? Because we know, it's born in you to know that something has to die to save you. So, yeah. So all those groups where you see, you know, they're taking these children and killing them and sacrificing, or, you know, they take the chief, you know, whoever it is, the big leader, he's the one who has to give up his life. There's no teaching on that, but that is universal. History bears it out because there's something in you that knew you got to have a sacrifice. And he loved you enough that he said, I'll give my son to do it. So quit trying to pay for your sin, because when you do that, you discount the Father's Son. I don't need Jesus. I can handle this. Let me just ask you, Andrew, if your son died and somebody said that, I don't need Alexander, I'll go my way, wouldn't you like be ready to like go, what? Eric? Ken, your son died in active service in Afghanistan, is that right? So would you want people, which they did, to mock and criticize your son who gave his life for this country? No. You want his life to count. Ken, I affirm you tonight that his life counted. He may have been the one, Ken, that protected others that would have made a difference in history. I believe this. So why would God not want us to see the value in what his son did? Don't think the world is greater than the power of God. But God knew before time and said, when it gets so bad, don't worry, kids. I'm coming back for you, and I'll take you out of this. And not only will I take you out of this, but we're going to go to a place that I've prepared just for you. And when I come back, we're going to have a feast with food. You are not going to gain weight. It is not going to clog your arteries. Yeah, no heartburn. Ain't going to be no need to exercise. We're just going to float around and have love and happiness. Woo! Y'all shouting me down there. Yeah, pumpkin spice in heaven. Who has John 14:27? Thank you, Lauren. So he's not worried. Quit letting people act like they can do something to you that they can't. It is a satanic tactic to plant a seed that we're okay with Jesus and so we can bypass a relationship with him. That is satanic. You know how I know that's satanic? Because if you bypass a relationship with Jesus just because you know that he's going to love you, you have just said, I'm going to get married, and then I'm going to go do my own thing and whatever, and but you can't do nothing because you married me. Is that going to work anywhere? No. And Satan wants to separate you from the love relationship with Jesus so he can lie to you and you'll believe everything. And that, my friends, is why I am so tired of people saying, well, you don't need church to be a Christian. You don't need a parachute to jump out of a plane, right? I'm telling you, we need each other. There's a message in this for us. There is love in this for us because there's correction in this for us, and there's not a person in this room. Get ready. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need correcting. Y'all just set yourself free. And I want to tell you, I believe that the root of unforgiveness is hate. I'm just going to put it out there. I believe the root of unforgiveness is hate. But if you hate yourself, you'll perpetuate it. If you don't believe Jesus can overcome your struggle, you'll perpetuate it. If you can't forgive someone else because you did everything right and they didn't, go back and read Hosea that Steve just taught on. Because I'm telling you, I told you in the first of this, don't talk about people to your parents who you married to, and don't talk about your spouse to your children or your ex or your ex-ex. Don't do it. Because your children were not meant to bear hatred. They will perpetuate, they will enact whatever you do because they believe you're just great. God is pure light, undimmed by the darkness of any kind. That's the only way I can get my thinking straight. Because I go to him and I'm like, look, this isn't right. And he's like, no, it's not. That's why I sent Jesus. Come on over. Come on over to the cross, Gay. Let's look at what he did for you so you can forgive them. That didn't mean they have to be my best friend. That didn't mean I need to go to supper with them and get them to approve me. That means I need to tell them, you know what? I want you to forgive me. The other day what happened, I went home and I had bitterness and I was so angry at you and I don't want that toxicity in my soul. And I want you to know that I forgive you. What? I didn't do nothing to you. You want to start something up here? I didn't do nothing to you. You're like, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you. I'm asking you to forgive me because there was something in my heart. And you not only set you free, but you set them. Because now they're not looking to please you. They're going to have to deal with God. Isn't it such a burden to carry unforgiveness? Like, really, are you happy when you and your spouse, you know, are mad at each other? You know? Is that like, man, I remember that time we were mad at each other for 3 weeks. That was the best time of my life. And yet, we all act like, well, let me show you something. I'm going to show you something. You're missing out on a lot of love. You're missing out on a lot of good memories. You're missing out on peace. And that's worth a lot. Always, always, the enemy's going to want you to be the judge and say what's right. You've got enough scripture tonight. We know what's right. I need to trust God. And please hear me. And I tell him this. God, I don't like this. God, he already knows it. God, I do not like this. But if this is the path you're sending me on, then I'm asking you to protect me. Don't you let evil get to me, and don't you let it get to my kids, and don't you let it get to the people in Christian Center. And if you don't believe I pray for you, you're wrong. Because I'm believing God that the people in this church are going to be so blessed and so set free that that's how come the city's going to be set free. When we stand up to hatred and bitterness and we come back with love and forgiveness, that's when you're going to see things wonderful happen. But it's got to start in you and me, not nobody else. Ain't nobody in your bank account with heaven. People's acceptance gets you to bypass God's. They don't like me. If I do that, they're not going to. And I just hear the Lord saying, okay, look at Jesus and figure out who you need to, whose approval you need here. Figure it out. Because this is going to last for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and they'll just find something else wrong with you. How will heaven answer me and my actions? When you are broken and you are hurt, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. Who knows a scripture to go with that? When I am weak, he is strong. Who knows another one? A broken, he will not deny you. You are at the best place with heaven you can be when you're hurting. You are at the best place. Does that make sense to earth? No. But I'm not trying to live for earth. Guys, bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. How many times have I heard, well, I married the wrong person? You just bitter. You just bitter. You believe that God got something wrong? Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody in here wonderful to live with. You, mister, are going to be in trouble because you are a troublemaker. Yes. Bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. He can't forgive them. He can't forgive me. Let's just all be bitter together. Worry, guys, is not believing that God can overcome the world. If I'm worried, I'm saying, God, this is clear, you're limited. And if I'm worried he's not limited, but I'm going to get hurt, I'm really saying, God, I care more about me than I do you and the other people. And unforgiveness is believing that you're right even after God says you're wrong. Because he's telling us there's none perfect but him. So tonight I just want you to know this. I don't want you to be deceived. A benefit of your salvation is that you have the ability to forgive. And the enemy wants you to believe you don't because you've been so hurt you can't get over this. Answer me this. Is anything bigger than God? Oh, yes, it is. My will. If I say you can't do it, he won't do it. Not because he couldn't, but I'm stopping the flow of blessing. That's why tonight I want you to answer this question for yourself. How big are you going to let God be? Because if you keep saying who God is, you'll never know him because you've limited him already. Guys, there's places, and I want you to hear this prophetically. There are places that we are going that are deeper than we've ever been. I'm so far out in the deep end right now that I don't even know where the bottom is, okay? But all I know is when I get tired, the best thing I can do is lean back and float. And I hadn't sunk. The devil's lied to me and told me I am, but I hadn't. And sometimes one of you may float by and I may grab onto you from and go, Lord, pray for me, right? You know, oh, I think I'm drowning. They're like, girl, you as tall out of the water as I am. Oh, okay, all right, we're going to make it. That's why we need each other. Because I'm going to believe for you and the world isn't. The world wants something from you. They want your peace. They want your joy. They want your money. They want your body. But when you're 80 years old, remember this. Who's going to be there? The Father. And I've sat at the bedside of many people who are dying. And I can tell you, people who don't know the Lord, it's a sad thing. They scream and they see things. Thank you. Many of you are shaking your head because darkness does come. But I can tell you this, people who serve the Lord, there's a peace. And it's just, I don't even know how to explain it. But there is a peace because they're going home. And immediately they're seeing Him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not going to get that guarantee anywhere else. But we need to walk in forgiveness. Are you with me on the path tonight? Stand with me. Father, in this room right now, there's enough love for you. There's enough love from you. There's enough provision through you, Jesus, to lay down bitterness and anger and hatred. Right now, I want you to think of the person that you're just so angry at. God, I forgive them. Really, see their face. God, I forgive them. I release them from owing me a debt. And now the deposit is coming back into you of the Holy Spirit. Don't let your anger for someone else keep you from the peace of God. Lord, tonight I receive this benefit of my salvation. I have the ability to do it. I die to me that you will live. God, I want you to help me tonight to love all people. And God, even when I'm judged, you, Lord, only you can know what's in my heart. Because I am wicked and deceived. But you, God, will bring me peace. And your peace will let me know, Lord, that you and I are okay. I receive your peace tonight, God. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for peace over the minds of every person in this room. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. You guys want to know how to end an argument with someone? You want to know how to end an argument? Be kind. And here's the thing. Be honest. I don't know how we got in this mess. I don't know how we're going to get out. I just need you to hold my hand right now because I'm really insecure that we're losing each other. That touch will melt the heart. Because it's not about being right. It's about loving. That's your greatest weapon, friends, is love. And the enemy wants us to believe our greatest weapon is hate. We're not buying it. Amen? All right. Now here's some good news. September the 8th is Roundup Sunday. We're going to dress Western. It's the first cowboy game. So if you want to be a cowboy, Dallas Cowboy wearer, you can do that. But we want to do that. I want to encourage you to come and stay for the barbecue afterwards. We're going to have hilarious fun games. Every department's in charge of one. And not only that, but we're going to have a pack a pew contest. So Daniel, if you bring enough people and you fill these three pews, I'm pretty sure you're going to win the $100 gift card. Okay, if y'all see Daniel going door to door with a bottle of water, y'all just stop and encourage him. All right, let's really get people coming to church. Let's round up people that are not going to church and let them be part of our love family. Amen? All right, God bless you.